Today, we're talking about Father's Day. We're talking about celebrating dads, fathers. And it says in Romans, it says to give honor to whom honor is due. So we should celebrate dads, amen? We should celebrate fathers. So point number one, God is a good father. And if you go to Toby's healing class, probably just about every class, she's going to maybe quote James chapter 1, 17, where it says, every good gift comes down from our Heavenly Father in heaven. So God's a good God, amen? You know, in the Old Testament, I think we had a little trouble understanding the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God because you saw everything that happened in the New Testament. But you know what? It says in the New Testament, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus came to show us really what the Father was like. And so we're going to talk a little bit about God as our Heavenly Father to start with. And that's one of the good verses there. Another verse is in Matthew chapter 7. It actually says, if you be an evil, that was talking about us, but let's just, you can put the word natural in there if you want. But if you be an evil or natural, know how to give good gifts to your children at Christmas. Do you ever give your kids some good gifts? Remember when they're growing up, I look forward to that, amen? You know, there was five kids, so you had to divide that up when you're growing up in those days, but we look forward to it. So I knew my mom and dad were good, and I knew that we were going to get some gifts for Christmas. But our Heavenly Father, He's better than our natural parents. So He knows how to give good gifts to you. He's a good God. And it's very, very important that you see God as a good God, because if you don't, you won't be intimate with Him. You won't have a close relationship. If you had a dad that was not a good dad, it might be hard for you. You might have to go through different obstacles to realize that God is good. But if you read through the scriptures, and hopefully here, even you experience here at the church, that God is a good God, He is a good Father. And actually what we want to do, if your father wasn't a good dad, we want to fill in the gap because we want to be a family here. Amen? Actually, God is a father to the fatherless. And James said, if true religion is what you do, you care for the orphans and you care for the widows. Amen? That's what true religion is all about. So if you had a gap in your upbringing with the Father, we all want to be fathers in the faith. We'll talk about that in one of our points as well. But so you need to see God as a good God. He has gifts for us. Amen? So many people have a wrong view or concept of God. Some see Him as a harsh, mean, judgmental God. Have you ever heard this? They don't preach this way as much anymore, but you know, if you messed up, God was a God up in heaven, and He was ready to drop a box of rocks on you as soon as you messed up. Anybody ever hear that kind of preaching when you grew up? Come on. And you know, God, the holiness and all that part is still a part of the character of God. But you know what? I want to come boldly into the presence of God. I want to realize that the veil has been rent, the barrier and the wall has been torn down, and I can just go, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, I love you, amen? And I can be intimate with Him. I can talk to Him. I need respect and awe, but that's what Galatians 4:6 says. Come to Him, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. He's a good God. You can talk to Him, and He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a close, intimate relationship with you. So if you didn't have a good relationship with your dad, that can hinder or affect your relationship. Our Father in heaven is full of love for us. How would we know that? John 3:16, verse everybody knows. God, our Heavenly Father, so loved us that He did what? He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, that we could have eternal life. What is another verse that goes with that? Just Romans 5:8. God, our Heavenly Father, loved you even when you weren't perfect. Amen? Romans 5:8 says, God commended His love towards you while you were yet a sinner. Christ died for you. So we're lovable even when we're not perfect, because guess what? We're not perfect. We're human. But God showed perfect, unconditional love even while we were children of the devil and the wrath of God abiding in us. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for us. All right, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke 15, I'm not going to read much out of Luke 15. I'm just going to quote things. But this is the story of the prodigal son. And actually, I think that the story in this story, everybody always quotes it as the story of the prodigal son. I think the best story is the story of the father. And so I'm going to read some qualities of the father. And I believe that the prodigal son's father represents our Heavenly Father in heaven. So what are the qualities that we can look in this story? And you're going to have to go home to read all of the verses. But here's what you can learn about the prodigal son's father. Number one, he's a good father. And if you read the story, you see how good a father he was. But also, he allowed his son to have a free will. He allowed his son to choose wild living, bad spending, immoral behavior. He couldn't force his will onto his son because his son has a free will, and God will let you do the same. God wants you to love him. He wants you to serve him. He doesn't want you to sin because he knows that sin has bad consequences, but he gives you a free will, and he chooses with that free will. You can choose whether you're going to love or serve him or whether you're going to live your life for eat, drink, and be happy, for tomorrow we die. Okay? So the prodigal son, he allowed him to leave. He gave him he had a free will. But the prodigal son's father, what are the characteristics of him that are like God? He was merciful, he was forgiving, and he offered reconciliation. He waited for his son to come to his senses. This is huge. We live in a society today where parents want to bail out their kids and not allow them to reap the consequences of their bad decision. The Bible says you reap what you sow. This is so important in this story because here's our government has this all wrong. They haven't read Luke 15 very well. Did the father go and run him down and bail him out? No, he didn't. Now, I personally believe it's not in the story, but I think the father went to that hill every single day looking for his son return. And he knew exactly what he was going to do, but he allowed his son first and foremost to come to his senses. You know what? As parents, different times you want to bail out your kids when they make wrong decisions, don't you? You know, you don't want them to, and obviously you need wisdom there, but different times they need to learn that that bad decision has bad consequences, because then if they learn that, the pain of that, they might not do it again. Are you guys with me this morning? This is not in the story, but I think he went to that hill every single day just praying that his son would return. So what else? He forgave him. He restored to him. He ran to his son. He embraced him. What else did he do? He threw a party for him. He gave him hope. There was total reconciliation. Now, this is a whole nother sermon, a whole nother story, but I think we can learn a whole lot about the older son. The older son didn't mess up. The older son always probably did things every right. He served his father, did everything his father wanted. But guess what? In the long run, I think the one that messed up had a way, way, way closer and better relationship with his father than the one that always did everything right. I'm not trying to promote you going and doing stuff wrong. But that son didn't realize the goodness of his father. He didn't realize the goodness, once again, of God. What did the father say to him? He said, did you not know that all you had to ask and I would have killed the fatted calf and you could have had a party anytime you wanted? Isn't that what was in the story? He had a bad heart, a hard heart, a jealous heart. He wasn't ready to offer reconciliation. He wanted his son to be punished. I guarantee you, when he was eating pig's food and all the things that he went through and squandered all that, his life wasn't so good. Isn't that just an amazing story? We have that song, well, you know, we didn't do it today. We were challenged with having three guys up there singing, but that song of He is a good, good Father. And if you believe that about God, you can have faith and intimacy, and you can believe that you can come boldly into the presence of God and receive help in time of need. If you believe that He's harsh, that He's cruel, that He's ready to drop a box of rocks on you, you're not going to run into the lap of somebody like that, are you? Come on, yeah, that's just a good story. So that's point number two, the story of the prodigal son's father. I believe it's a picture of God. Point number three, what does the Bible say about the father, son, and relationship? And let me just stop for a few minutes and read some notes that I have as far as Father's Day stuff. Just what is your story if I share kind of a joke? What is your role again? All right, hopefully I won't be as corny as the ones that we saw this morning, but no, just whatever, that was fun. All right, but four stages of fatherhood, four stages of manhood. When you're born, you believe in Santa Claus, right, most of you? And then you learn the truth about it, and you don't believe in Santa Claus, right? But then you get married, and you have kids, and you become Santa Claus, amen? And then when you get older and gray hair and maybe a little bit bigger belly, then you look like Santa Claus. Amen? Yeah. All right. Anyway, why did I share that? I have no idea. But we have a good father. Amen? You know, your parents and grandparents, you love being that. Our great-grandparents, we got those here too, amen? You want to bless your kids. You want to bless your grandkids. You want to see them have a really good life. Talking about fathers today, America has it wrong. I'm not saying that the Middle East and the Orient and Africa have it all right, but see, in America, we have lost the whole concept of honor and respect for the elderly. Come on, are you with me? You know, if you want to do this thing right, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, honor your father and mother, and this is the first commandment with a promise. And if you do this commandment, this is the first commandment with a promise, it will do what? What would happen if you do that? Your long life, but it'll go well with you, amen? Anybody want it to go well with you? Now, here's something. If you didn't have a great parent and you're like, well, man, they weren't that great. I don't think they were worthy of that much honor and respect. Guess what? If it wasn't for your parent, if it wasn't for your dad, you wouldn't be here. Do you realize that? That alone is worthy for you to have gratitude, because without your parents, without your dad, you're not here today. And also, even if they were imperfect, do you realize how much it cost them to raise you? Type this into your computer. I did it this week. I did it again this morning. You get different reports, but USA Today, under money, what it costs to raise a kid. All right, do you want to dare hear this? $236 to raise a kid from infancy to child age 18. That doesn't include college. Look it up. I'm just reading you what the computer said. All right, what? No, it's not $236. That would be a cheap kid. $236,000. I was just seeing if you were paying attention. No, not 236. Yeah, you'd all have about 10, 15 kids, right? Maybe not. But you know what? The person that was sharing the sermon I was listening to a little bit this week, he says a lot of people in his church, and he's in whatever, he's in California, but there's people that choose not to be dads or be fathers. And you can choose that, okay? But if you choose that because you want a nice car and a nice house and lots of vacation and all your golf time and all that stuff, you've got the wrong idea of what life is all about. You know what? The quality of your life is determined by the quality of your relationships. And what a privilege. That was probably one of Deb and I's, and still is probably to this day, the greatest joy we had is raising our son. Amen? You know, having a kid in your life and just believing that you can pass on. Here's another story. This guy, pastor's about 30 to 40,000, so I got this story from him too. But I think he was in second grade, which was age like, what, 6 or 7. And so he wanted to buy a gift for his mom. This is Mother's Day story. You can go with me, all right? So he went down to the thrift store and found a dress. And it was a beautiful dress to him. He thought it was fantastic. And it cost 50 cents, so he bought this dress. Now, the person that was selling the dress knew, he's a pastor now, knew when this little kid, he knew his mom. And the dress that he bought was a size 1, and his mom was a size 14. Okay? Now, if this little kid was older, he would have punched the lights out on the salesperson. The salesperson, do you realize that your mom couldn't even get her big toe into that dress? Okay? That person's never punched anybody, doesn't will, but he said, I walked out of there, out of that store, whatever, just, and I started crying immediately because whatever, how, you know, talking about my mom that way. Well, that person's mom has passed away, and I'm not sure how long it took afterwards, but he went to the mom's hopes chest, and when she opened up the hopes chest, what do you think she found? She found that 50 cent dress. You know, what he wanted to do was just to honor his mom. And you know what? That's what the Bible teaches us, for honor our father and mother. If nothing else, honor them for the sacrifice. You know, come on, you guys, all your parents know how much time and effort it took to raise your kids. You know, honor them for the sacrifice. And I guarantee you, it probably costs some money as well. If you want to look up a couple of verses, I'm going to give you 3 verses right now. This is under point number 3. What does a God say about the father-son relationship? And I just like to quote the verses a lot. I do like for you to follow along if you can. But Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, before the Lord comes back, and I'm quoting the verse before it, he said, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet. Do you remember this verse? Now, there's all kinds of arguments of what it means by sending Elijah the prophet. Does that mean he's going to send Elijah, the physical prophet, come back to this earth and preach? You know, nobody really knows for sure what exactly how that's going to pan out. But what was the purpose, whether it's Elijah, an Elijah-type ministry, or Elijah-type prophets or pastors proclaiming boldly the word of God, the purpose of sending Elijah the prophet before the great and notable day of the Lord was to turn the hearts of the father to the children. We've lost that a little bit in America. And the hearts of the children to the father. Because you know what? You followed Dr. Dobson, at least I did, for all my growing up years. Turn your heart towards home, amen? And that's where your heart should be, is loving God, but your heart should be at home. Turn the hearts of the father to the children to the father, and if that doesn't happen, I will come and smite the land with a curse. You want a blessing in your life? Follow Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. You want a blessing in your life? Follow Malachi and verse 6, chapter 4 and verse 6. The next verse I want to share with you is 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. I thank God for my birth father. I thank God that not only was my birth father, but he was my spiritual mentor, and he still is probably to this day. My dad, my older brother, and I all got born again on the same day. We all got baptized in the Holy Spirit on the same day. I, from age 12, not perfectly, but for the next 12 years before I graduated from college and went and became a pastor, pretty much whenever I was home, on most Tuesday nights, I was at prayer meeting with my dad. Wednesday night, I was at home group with my dad, Bible study, all right? Saturday morning, I'm at Bible study, a men's Bible study with my dad. And since dad never missed church my whole 24 years of growing up, every single Sunday morning for 24 years, I was at church with my dad. Thank God for a godly dad, amen? Not only a biological dad, and if you know my dad, he's amazing, but you know what? There's no perfect dad. But you know what? He showed me what Jesus looked like. He was a God with skin on. So not only did we do church 4 days a week, okay? That was free will, too. He strongly encouraged it. But Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, that, you know, you probably didn't have to go every time. But actually, Dad made it so fun, you almost wanted to. Being close to God. Man, I'm going to go pray. I'm going to actually go talk to the God that created this whole universe. Yeah, count me in. I'll go to prayer meeting with you, Dad. You know, in his home group Bible study, just amazing. So, thank you, Dad. Dad's not here. Maybe I'll play the tape back to him. God, thank you, Lord Jesus. So 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul said to Timothy, he said to Timothy, my beloved son. So not only do we have biological fathers, but we want to be spiritual fathers. Now, I don't know exactly what all prayers take when I go and pray with people, but I went visiting people, I think it was about 6.5 hours with Elward one day this week. And we had the privilege, I think we prayed with 3 different people to accept the Lord that day. One of them was his classmate from high school. Doug, you went and visited with him. You know, I guess he raised a little hell in high school. Do I remember right? Do you guys remember the stories I'm telling about? But you know what? Doesn't matter. They can accept the Lord, amen? Amen. So that day we prayed for both him and his wife to accept the Lord. Went to another man's, Sharon. You know, you were there when we prayed with Bob. Just to pray. Don't know. Always don't know where they're at with the Lord, but I want to ask them every time. Hey, if you died today, I did the same thing this week. 2 people came into my office. I said, man, we want to make sure that this is rock solid. When you die, you're going to go to heaven. Do you want to make sure of that? Oh, yes, I do. Well, let's pray. Well, let's be spiritual mentors. Let's be spiritual fathers. Not only can we bring kids into this earth, but let's bring spiritual births into this life. Amen? Hallelujah. So Paul said to Timothy, my beloved son. Okay? What's our theme this year as a church? Be a disciple, make a discipleship. We want to be in discipleship here, amen. Well, how does discipleship happen? Obviously, we have Sunday school. We'd love to see all of you here to listen to Sean and Heather and their 4 kids are going to be here, share about serving God on the mission field, to hear those kids share a testimony. You know what? But the context of discipleship, where does it happen? It happens in the context of relationship. So I want us as this church, and this is an amazing church, but I believe we can even get better in this area. I want anybody that ever walks through these doors to have a sense of family. So even if their family is not perfect at home, they can walk into this place and they know that they're loved, that they belong, that they're accepted, that they have a purpose, that they have a calling, and they can be a part here. Amen? And that's how we truly celebrate family and fathers, is we all, and I don't, this is not just for men today. You know what? You can do the same thing, women. When Paul said to Timothy, "Timothy, my beloved son," it says for the older women to teach the younger women. We can all be fathers in the faith. Abraham was the father of the Jews, the Israelites. We can all be fathers in the faith and make sure our kids and our grandkids all know and love and serve the Lord, and they're going to serve the Lord all the days of their life. Amen? Statistics show that over 70% of kids, when they go off to college, they lose their faith. We don't want that to happen. Amen? Amen. And we want to be a part of mentoring and discipleship for people. One last verse as far as point number three, and we go to point number four. 1 Corinthians 4:15. You may have countless tutors in Christ. We love teachers. We love Sunday school teachers. We love Wednesday night teachers. We love children's church. We love everybody that has been a part of our kids. You saw what, 6 or 7 of them graduated to the next level in our service just a month ago. We want to teach the Word of God because Deuteronomy chapter 6 says that's a commandment. One of the highest commandments for parents and fathers and mothers to do is to teach the Word of God. So we're going to teach it. But Paul said in this verse, you may have 10,000 teachers in Christ, but you do not have many fathers. So not only do we want to be teachers, we want people to catch it because sometimes more is caught than is taught. Amen? You know, when I look at my dad, all right, now for, what is he, 84 years old? You know, you probably get tired of me bragging to my dad, but once again, from age 12 to 24, not one morning in my life did I ever walk by his room between 6 and 7 o'clock when he was waking up, did I not see him on his knees doing his devotionals, praying to God, realizing that, you know what, I can't raise Andy or any of the other kids without you, God. Amen. Come on, you guys. I need your help, God, everything I do. He was always praying. You know, and you have to just forgive me for bragging on my dad, but as a director of public works in the city of Winona, he was known for praying and asking God for wisdom on all the different things he did. I don't know how much it costs for the city of Winona. If you go to the city of Winona, that whole dike that protects the whole entire city from the Mississippi River, we're right next to the Mississippi River. That whole dike was built in the 34 years that my dad was a director of public works and the city engineer. People at the council meetings and everyone, they would ask Dad different times. And you know what? This probably wouldn't be so politically correct nowadays. But he was known as a man that would pray and say, God, I need your wisdom. He still tells the story of, I'm not sure what river that was or whatever that came into Winona. But he was telling me this story even this last year. He was wanting to do a project to protect part of Winona, not from the Mississippi, but another river. And he wanted to do something. He said, and he prayed, and he got God's wisdom, and he didn't go ahead with the plan that he was going to do. He said if he would have went ahead with the plan, that they would have had millions of dollars into the plan, and it would not have worked. They discovered afterwards that the soil, whatever they were doing, whatever they were planning, whatever, you know, he was doing it in his best mind. But he realized after the fact that that wouldn't have worked. Wouldn't that be great just to pray to God and get his wisdom and actually make the right decisions in life and save your city maybe several millions of dollars? God is good. So you may have 10,000 instructors, but you haven't many fathers. I want all of us to be fathers in the faith. I want us to be a family here. I love relationship. I love to spend time with people. I do that all 7 days a week. But we want to be fathers. We want to have relationship. We want to pass on our love for Jesus onto those around us. Amen? God is good. Point number four. So how can fathers make a difference? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll just try to tell this story without looking at the paper. Certain people, as far as their rite of passage, and I'm not sure if people practice this nowadays, but in order to become a man, you had to go through a rite of passage to enter into manhood. In order to do this, a young boy had to go and spend the night in the wilderness all alone, blindfolded. So just picture, you know, I suppose they do around Wautoma or Washera County, that you got pretty thick woods up north where I come from. They're even bigger and thicker, whatever. But just imagine yourself out in the wilderness, and you have to be blindfolded. After the story's done, you can't tell any of your other teenage friends what's going to happen this night. So the young boy wants to go through this rite of passage, the passage into maturity, when he supposedly becomes more mature, becomes a man. So the young boy is blindfolded, sits on a tree stump, and you can't imagine all the animals that you would hear during the middle of the night. And let's just say you know that there's bear out there. There's all kinds of different animals out there that could possibly kill you. And you hear the wind, and every sound that you hear, something's going on in your mind, what it is, amen? So this young little boy, you know, you had to go all the way till the sun came up in the morning. And when the sun came up in the morning, he could see it, took off his blindfold. What do you think? Who do you think was sitting right next to him? His dad was sitting right next to him. So that helps, amen? Isn't that nice to have your dad there? Your father there? And our Heavenly Father is just like that. You know what? Sometimes you look at your life and like, God, you say, does anybody do this like me? Well, God, where are you? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this, amen? Y'all have those different things. But guess what? He never leaves you or forsake you. He's with you always, even to the end of the age. You might not understand God's timing or God's wise, but never doubt the love and the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Point number four. So how can we make a difference? I'm not going to share all the stats with you this morning, but once again, 70 to 75% of kids, when they go off to college, they lose their faith. If you do just type in your computer, find statistics of those people that are in prison, the vast majority of them had difficulty in their relationship with their father or an absentee father or different things. And, you know, don't take any guilt, condemnation, or anything, but we as a church want to offer family and fill in any of those gaps. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. So how can we make a difference? Once again, I guess I already told you about my dad, but just being able to go to prayer meeting with dad, Bible study with dad, church with dad, and then see how he lived his life. It was a good example. You know, he also just spent a ton of time. We had a humongous field right behind our house. He's always playing football with us, always playing basketball with us, always playing baseball. So it wasn't just God, and it always just wasn't church. He showed us that life can actually be fun. You know, taking his hunting, taking his fishing, doing all those things. And I wanted to do a lot of those same things with my son. I had the privilege of coaching my son for 10 years, being a part of his life. But hopefully the most important thing is he saw that God is important. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to have the dads come forward in just a minute. Actually, let's go ahead and do that. All the fathers, you want to come forward at this time? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then if you can make all the way across the front here, we just want to honor you. We want to pray for you. We do have a small gift for you. Make sure that you get that gift before you leave today. And then actually, go ahead and go along the edge of the walls just so that we have room. Wow, this is awesome. Thank you, Lord, for fathers. Amen. Thank you, God, that you're a good, good Father, a good God. Thank you, Lord.